welcome to episode 130 of the Talking Talkie podcast. I'm Stephen Dixon, and with me today is PR professional himself, Matthew Roberts.
Good evening.
And recruitment specialist himself, Mr. Sam Drewiff.
Slash occasional podcaster, if you'll connect to me on certain platforms.
Slash occasional podcaster. And yeah, I'm starting with those professional things so that at least these two can try and get some business out of the podcast themselves. So we have a win to talk about. It's FA Cup qualifying round that none of us want to be a part of, but here we are. A 3-0 victory over Tim Sills' Wimborne, as is their full name. McGavin with the opener, with Stobbs and Lapsley topping it up, Lapsley after half-time. So a 3-0 win over Wimborne. Matt, what was your initial reaction after the game?
Well, we didn't embarrass ourselves, and we got through unlike other teams at our level. Although I'd be pretty horrified if we lost to the likes of Wimborne Town. But the main thing is that I was so excited to see us in the draw for the third qualifying round, and I wasn't disappointed when I saw us emerge against Hungerford Town. It's been too long since we played them, and I still haven't got over the last time we lost 1-0 to them on the day that we had all those yellow bin liner flags at Plainmoor when we'd won the title. So a bit of revenge will be in order. But you actually asked about the Wimborne game rather than the Hungerford game. So,
Johnson took the decision to start. When I used to write match reports, this was one of my most loved phrases to use. Forgotten man, Ryan Hansen, slotting in at right back. Is that just a shuffling the pack to give him some minutes? Is it more of a, yeah, let's see how you do there? Like, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it's a question of if he can't do a job, it's brutally honest, but if he can't do a job against Wimborne Town, then, you know, he's no business being in the squad at all in the National League South. It's probably just a bit of shuffling the pack, isn't it? Like having Lovett in goal. Again, it's the perfect game for those sort of players, because even if they don't play that well, they've surely got enough to beat a side in where Wimborne, are they two leagues below us, I think?
Yeah, I think it's two leagues below us. But yeah, I mean, Johnson shuffled the pack a little bit, I think, with, as you said, Lovett in goal, Hansen slotting in at right back. But the renaissance, let's call it, of Brett McGavin continued, Mr. Drew. Is that him on his way to Talk United folklore now?
Steady. Don't get me wrong, he has improved it, and it's nice to see, because, you know, I think we all love a redemption story at this club after reading currently Mark Halstead, who is kind of as good as it gets, really. But yeah, it's good for him to get the goal. I didn't mind the fact that it was kind of a predominantly unchanged team or a lot of the usual suspects, because it keeps, we're getting on a bit of a run, they're starting to tick a bit, and it keeps that going. And then, you know, obviously you've got to give Lovett a game. If you're not going to play Lovett on that, you know, bloody hell, there's no point in having him. You might as well have a kid on the bench to make up the numbers. And then Hansen, let's be honest, he hasn't pulled up any trees, has he? So just gives him a chance to play and maybe just try in another position, because we haven't got. I know Donnellan plays at right back, and I like Donnellan a lot. I think he does a good job, but we haven't got a proper out and out good right back. So it's a bit, you know, I mean, Buckle made a career out of playing different people at fullback, anything but a fullback. So yeah, no issue in playing there, and gives him some minutes, because you've got, I was just saying, it's important to get these players minutes so that when they are called upon, because in a small squad, in a game, in a league where it is physical, you are going to need everyone to play. So it's a good opportunity to let someone like that just get a bit of match fitness back. But yeah, I mean, you can't really read in too much into team selections.
No,
it was a professional performance, wasn't it? That's all you can ask for at the end of the day. You can only
100%.
Does it tell you anything about our title hopes? Probably not. I thought some of the chances that we created, it wasn't just hoofball, which was nice. It was actually playing it along the ground and, you know, passing it to their teammates, which, you know, you can't take for granted. in this league and with Torquay United this season.
I think for me, well, I think what's important is, yeah, he shuffled it a little bit, but that we seem to have at least settled on a spine of the side to a certain extent. And whether it's as swashbucklingly as exciting as the last time we were in this league, probably not. But a settled side at this stage of the season, not going to argue with that. Like you both already said, to be honest, a 3-0 win at Wimborne, where, to be honest, we never looked like we were in trouble from the looks of it. It was, you know, Lovett made a decent save early on, but once McGavin had got us ahead, you know, it looked kind of regulation, and we kept the ball quite well in a way we probably haven't always been able to do in the league so far this season. So, bit of momentum, well, and in the hat in the next round.
Yeah, no, I agree. The thing is, you know, don't get me wrong, for Wimborne, and I'm really not trying to take the mickey out of the two, and I'm not trying to show them disrespect, but that's got to be for them probably the biggest game ever, like in their history, especially, you know, regardless of the fact that there's kind of the romantic side for Cyril's. So they're going to have been up for it, and they're going to have wanted to give it a go. But ultimately, as soon as we either score or the game goes on, that realistically, aside two leagues below us, and I know it's only two leagues, but we've got players that a lot of them probably could do a job in the National League. So the golfing class is going to be too much. So yeah, it's just you can't take too much from it, but you also, I know it's a proper cliche, but they are banana skins, these games, potentially, and at least there was no kind of, you know, the worst case would have been a replay. That would have been worse than a loss, because you think, oh god, another game up on the Tuesday. So at least we're through, and it's a few quid for Clark Osborne's golf holidays, whatever he spends it on.
Well, look at what happened to, or what almost happened to Bath City. They played Lark Hall Athletic, which was a derby for them. Apparently, Lark Hall is near Bath, and I don't know how many leagues below they are, but Bath were 2-0 down until, I think, about the 80th minute or so. In the end, they won 3-2. Lark Hall collapsed, but, you know, shows how close it can be sometimes. I think if we had played that game a few weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, outcome could well have been different. But it looks like we're settling into a bit of a stride, which is nice to see. But all comes to nothing if we lose to Hemel Hempstead on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the question I want to ask is: does Tim Sills stood on the sidelines watching a Torquay United side play? Does that ring true for a future generation as a Torquay United manager? The stunned silence.
I want to say no, because we all know what happens when you appoint legends as managers.
It's such a difficult one, because I do agree. But then, you know, one day, you know, I still like Gary Johnson, but it ain't going to go too much longer. And you think there is something nice about it. But then if you offer me, I don't care if he's the right man for the job or not, but there's only one ex-player I ever want to see take up that position. And
you fancy another run at Chris Hargreaves?
No, because he won't come on our fucking podcast.
Well, he's not going to now, is he?
I was going to say, he came on it when I was the sole host.
Ooh. That was poor BT when he kicked in. He didn't need appearance fees then.
To be honest, I think not to read too much into Tim Sills' own situation, but I'd imagine he's quite enjoying part-time management rather than the way it has to consume your life, even if you become manager of Torquay United.
Tim Sills is also, this is no disrespect to anyone else in football, Tim Sills is quite an intelligent bloke. He's educated. He's got quite a good job. I'm fairly sure he does a really good job for a charity, and he seems to get a lot out of it. I'm going off LinkedIn here, because I'm on LinkedIn or not, if anyone didn't guess already. But I don't think I remember him doing a podcast before, and he'd done even on the Buckle era. I think he just said like he's never sort of said, "Oh, I want to do it. I want to do it." Whereas, because when he finished, he just left football, didn't he? Whereas, you know, your Nicholsons, your Mansells, your Carlisles of the world, they all stayed in football. They are looking for that, you know, that next step into the coaching and management world. So, no, I was saying I wouldn't get behind it, but I can't see it happening.
No, I'm not sure it will. Yeah, so I mean, the one thing we didn't touch on is that in the run up to that game against Wimborne, we got the heartbreaking news of Dylan Crowe's departure to Havant Waterlooville on loan. I think I've got all those details correct. Someone can shake their head if not.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
what
was going
like
to ask
what
it.
do we make of that? Well, I mean, I suppose it was always coming.
Well,
Well.
it's. I was sorry, I was going to say when I saw it, I just assumed it'd be a season. I thought that, but like to the end of the season, that's kind of like let him run out his contract, and you know, it hasn't worked out, whatever. But what I thought was interesting is it's just a month, and you think, okay, that maybe he's still in the plans, and it's a case of look, let him get match fit, get him do all this, do all that. But you know, come back. This is your chance to prove yourself. You've got a month, see how you get on. So I was almost quite pleased by that because it'd be, I still think he's got something. I really do. I think, you know, he's quick, he's attacking, he's got that, he's got like a great goal against Altrincham last season. So you know, give him a month, see what he does. And if he comes back, I'm fully behind him.
I'm personally, I'm not quite as optimistic as you. I don't feel like it's a last chance. I think he's probably, if we wanted him match fit, I mean, we would have had him match fit in pre-season and had him playing. Part of me was listening to people over the summer saying, oh, well, he's quick and at this level, that'll do a lot for you. I'm not always convinced by that argument. There's plenty of quick, tricky wingers and fullbacks. It's if you've got a brain and can do something as well. I'm unconvinced. My because when Gabby Rogers left us, it's weird that that's the comparison we're making to a former England under-20 international, whatever he was. But it just to me, it just feels like Johnson's trying to shuffle him out the door. I wonder if there's. I mean, this is based on absolutely nothing, so don't come at me from the courts. But I wonder if he just didn't want his personality around the squad at the moment. If he's a bit dejected about not playing.
Yeah, no, that's that. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Didn't even think of that. It is quite possible, but
It does remind you of the sort of outgoings that we had in when Johnson took over, I think. Not that he's that bad. I mean, I've not really seen anything from Crowe since he came, apart from the Derby game, I thought, which he was pretty good in. But one thing that I thought, if he's going on loan to another National League South club, Hamilton Waterlooville, does that indicate that Johnson thinks so low of him that it doesn't matter if he plays against us or if he helps another team in our division, because he hasn't got the quality. And he's not really a threat.
the thing is, I think it's if it is as Drew says, if it's last chance, you know, get yourself match fit and come back and see how you do, then it's absolutely last chance. And it's last chance for his Torquay United career, but it's probably his last chance for a professional football career, really. Because I think I've said it on this podcast before. If you end up released by Torquay after a 2 year spell, there's precious few clubs who are going to pick you up if you're released by Torquay with no contract offer on the table. There are very precious few professional clubs that will be likely to pick you up.
Well, you could ask the last person who we sent on loan to Hamilton Waterlooville. Do you know who that was?
God, I'm not Ben Curry.
I'm not. I know who it is, and for reasons that I won't go into, I'm absolutely not commenting. I just hope he is well and enjoying life.
Was it James Hurst?
Oh no!
Who is it?
Jake Andrews.
Go
Oh, Jake Andrews, of course it is. I'm sure everything's going well with him.
And I'm fairly sure that at the time Johnson probably made similar remarks, saying, "Oh, he's just not been fit. He needs a bit of game time and all that." And I can't remember the last time that we sent out a loanee with that reasoning where they came back and actually did anything, or if they came back at all, actually.
Yeah. So,
do you know what? It's one of them. I don't want to sound cliche, but in 9 months' time, Dylan Crowe will either be a good right back, either pushing for a contract with us, or, you know, will get himself something else in the National League South or the National League, or Dylan Crowe will be advertising personal training sessions and playing part time. It'll go one way or the other. It is, you know, for him, he's always just got, because he's clearly got talent and ability that otherwise he wouldn't have done what he's done, you know, to get that England youth call up, to you know, to go through Ipswich's ranks to the age that he is. It's not like he was binned off at 14 and has kind of managed to kind of get himself back into it.
Yeah, so we spent way too long talking about Dylan Crowe. I didn't expect to talk that long about him. But what we have got to talk about as well is 5 years of Gary Johnson at the helm. That anniversary was hit in the last week. There's some highs, there are some lows. He's still here. I'll tell you what, let's do it like that. And I haven't prepped usually these two for this question, so I'm going to ramble for a little bit. But I'm going to ask them for their high and their low of Gary Johnson's tenure with us. I mean, there's some probably pretty obvious candidates, but if you could pick out kind of moments in his 5 years, I will start with the one who looks like he's most confident and ready to answer, and that's Mr. Sam Drewiff.
Oh, completely without any thought, my high, I'm not going to go for an obvious one. My high is going to be Western away, the first season in the National League South. I remember going to that and I just saw people that I hadn't seen for a couple of years, or I think I'd basically kind of given up on supporting Torquay. Just kind of thought, you know what, it's just not worth it anymore. And to see so many people, and everyone was just, it didn't matter what the result was that night. For a brief minute, it felt like we were back. It just felt like a little bit of optimism was back and it was going to be all right. So I'll always remember that, driving up after work with my dad, getting there and just thinking, wow, everyone is upbeat. There was no one was in a bad mood that evening.
And a low, Drew, you got a low in the tank?
Oh, I've got so many lows in the tank. I mean, back in January, no. do you mean my personal life?
we can go there, but maybe off the podcast.
No, I'm okay. Low, Ashton Gate.
Yeah, I can't disagree with Ashton Gate, to be honest.
Or even though we were down Wrexham at home last year, I just remember seeing them thinking, I really genuinely, you know, despite everything, I really hope you're struggling in League Two.
Matt, anything to add?
There's probably two highs. Well, there's more than that from his time at the club, but two which spring to mind. One, the season we got promoted back to the conference, we played Stockport away, and we beat them something like 5-0.
Oh yeah,
or 5-1. I can't remember. But that for me was when we were at our peak in that league, in that season, where we looked like we were going to absolutely annihilate anybody. We were unbelievable that day. I remember like the goal that Kalala scored, where he just danced down the entire pitch and nobody could get close to him. I thought, well, we are seriously good. And then soon after that, we went on that, what was it, like 8-run losing streak? And then the season just sort of fizzled out during COVID. And it ended up all a bit naff. And then I suppose the other one, Notts County at home in the playoff semi-final.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was good. That was so good.
1,500 people in Playmore, and it sounded like about 7,000.
That was, after, I think, I know we've been to a few games that season kind of on and off with different COVID rules, but that just felt like, again, a little bit like that reference made about Western away. Just felt like everyone thought, just feels good. You know, we're back.
And we looked like a team, didn't we? It was just like, fuck it. It was like, bloody hell, we're a good team.
Do you know what? I know it's rubbish. It's not. We're doing well in the league. But I know it's been rubbish the last 18 months, 2 years. But he's given us some great memories. And he's put some great teams together. He really has. If he was backed properly, we'd be laughing.
Yeah, no, can't disagree with that. I think the low for me, again, even with relegation in the hat, the low for me is Ashton Gate, and the feeling at the end of that game, just feeling like we've missed our chance. But in terms of the high, neither of you mentioned the Woking game in that first promotion season with old Benny Winter.
That's kind of too obvious, because that's just the high. I mean, that's apart from Wembley 09, that's the highest sporting Torquay in 20 years for me. That's
I
the
didn't go
high.
to either of those games.
What?
No. Woking away, I was playing golf.
Oh my, no. I love golf as much as the next man, but no.
And I kept getting my phone kept going off in my pocket, and I kept getting notifications saying, "Oh, we're losing." I thought, "Oh, great, that means Woking are going to win the league, doesn't it?" And then I didn't notice anything for about 10, 15 minutes. I thought, oh my God, we've drawn it. Everything's going to be all right." And yeah, I don't remember too much else about the rest of the day, but the golf was good anyway. And then on for Wembley 09, couldn't get the train down. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad we've gone through Matt's diary there. That'll be good podcast listening for people. the question I want to ask is, how much more of Gary Johnson do you reckon we're going to have? Even if, let's say, it all goes well this season, even if it all goes badly this season, is
He
another
can't
5 years of
stay.
Gary Johnson?
He can't stay any longer than this season, surely. But then I've said that for the past 3 seasons, I think.
See, do you know what? I agree, but this is the first time I've ever actually thought I want him to take us up and then just go, do you know what? I really am done now, and just go off into the sunset, because I think that's what his career deserves, is to end on a proper high, taking us back up. But I also think it, for his own good, I think even if we win the title with record points, I don't think his relationship with every Torquay fan will ever quite be repaired, because once you've taken us down, you've taken us down, especially to this level. And I backed him to stay, and I still support him, so I'm not digging him one bit. But you will always have that on your record book. And I think the perfect way for him to finish is to take us up, and then for him, and not in a bad way, but him and Aaron Downes both go, yeah, that is us done now.
To be
I
honest,
think that probably.
I think that will happen. I think if we go up, I think he'll leave, and I think if we don't go up, I think he'll leave. I think it is. I think he's just going to throw it at this season, to be honest. And yeah, I mean, like you say, I hope to God it's taking us up and he walks away, because otherwise it feels like a sad way to end a career for the man who's obviously managed at a very high level. And for us, as we've already said, has given us some cracking moments as Torquay fans. So I hope for his sake that he goes up with
I
us
think
and walks away.
that would have been a plan had we gone up from Ashton Gate, wouldn't it? I could have foreseen him leaving after that if we got promoted, or
I actually disagree, because I think he was starting to build. I think he was really starting to think, right, I can take it to the next level. I think he still had so much life in him after that, going into
And
that.
yeah, I think you're right that the makeup of that team, if he could have held more of them together, like we couldn't from staying down, I think he would have felt like he had a decent tilt at doing something in League Two.
We've gone up. I don't want to go too much as I'm convinced if we went up from Ashton Gate, we'd have done back to back, because half of that team, well, half the players that left would have stayed. I think the only player that would have still considered leaving would have been Ben Whitfield, because of the location thing. I think all of them would have stayed. We'd have added better players, because I think the ones we really added that summer were like Dan Holman and Lapsley and all that. Lapsley's been good for us, don't get me wrong. I like Tom, but I think rather than him being the best player we'd bring in, there would have been him and other good players. And I think we would have made a real stab at going back up.
One of the things which sort of, the whole thing about this Johnson's 5 year anniversary, though, it really just passed me by. And I think that says a lot, in my own mind at least, anyway, about sort of his relationship now with the club and with the fans and my own view of him, I just didn't really care about how long he's been with us. For me, he's doing okay at the moment, but his relationship, as you said, Sam, it can't be the same as what it was before he took us down, and also a lot of the things which he said about fans last season. I just don't think you can really ever come back from that completely. You can make amends where you can, but
thing is, I also felt like if he'd managed to do the impossible and keep us up last season, I think he would have walked then. I almost think going down made him think he needed to stay.
Which
I do respect him for, because I'm sure he earns good money, but it's one of those where at the age he is, he doesn't need to earn a salary. Like he's going to be all right. So I think the fact that he did stay and you're putting yourself through another season of it, I've got a lot of time for that. And I think you're right. If we stayed up, yeah, that would have been a kind of, okay, yeah, I can't do this again. But the fact that he's still got it, and, you know, to be fair to him, he's putting together a reasonable side, and we've won more games than we haven't. And we are on track to get the 2 points a game. So, you know,
I mean, one for another podcast, but I think he might need a few more additions before we see that over the line, but I'll save that for another podcast. Next up in the weekend, it's Hemel Hempstead away. Another one for us to take on in our inevitable triumph of National League South. No, Hemel Hempstead away. What were we thinking ahead of this one, Drew?
I'll be honest, I have absolutely no idea.
We'll make it up. We'll see if it rings true.
Are they the team that have got like the picture of Henry VIII as their badge?
They have.
Oh my God, I know so much non-league stuff. I don't know.
That's got to be the most Brexit club emblem you could have.
Yeah, they're great. They're just sort of just outside the N25, aren't they? Where you know, they move, they come over here, take our jobs, take our houses.
No, I wasn't making. I was just saying the badge, Drew. Wasn't going for the people.
It all fits the bill. It's another club that, you know, we shouldn't ever be competing against, but we are. I think the run we're on, I can't see us losing to anyone at the moment, whether we play well or not. I just think they're starting to get confident again. There are goals coming from all over the pitch as well, which is actually kind of flown under the radar a bit, but that's one of the most reassuring things, because last season, if Jarvis wasn't on it, no one was scoring. Whereas now, you've got Bradley Ashley scoring. Stobbs is getting the odd one. Brett McGavin's turned into a footballer. Lapsey's chipping in with him. So, yeah, I think we'll go out there and win.
Same here. Well, Hemel Hempstead, they've only scored more than one goal in a game once this season. So they don't score many, which bodes well for us. So, I don't know. 3-1 to us, probably.
Yeah, I can't. To be honest, I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. I just don't think. I mean,
we don't do that. But
we don't do that. Other than against Wimborne, to be honest, I'm hoping for a 3-1 or
comprehensive something. Win.
Hemel Hempstead aren't. I mean, they're not. They don't look like mugs from the early season form. I mean, 10th in the table.
Who are you, Gary points. Johnson?
What's that?
Who are you, Gary Johnson, talking about people being mugs all the time?
They're not mugs. Played 9, 13 points. On a half decent run. Haven't lost in a few games. But again, I think we say it most weeks. If you want to win this league, you've got to win some away games. And look, if you draw against the likes of Bath City or Yeovil away, then fine. But against some of these other teams, you've got to be picking up those 3 points, really.
Yeah, quite.
Right. Is there any other business that we need to touch on before we let our listeners go?
Got Hungerford in the next round.
Hungerford in the next round. We're all excited for that one. That's coming up the week after next, isn't it?
Ryan Clark in goal for them.
Is he still going?
Yeah, he's been on the bench for Bath City for the past two or three seasons. Now he's getting first team football again. Hugely important at his age for his future experience. You know what?
Good for him.
Plenty left in the tank.
I'll be honest. There are a number of reasons why I'm not going, and I'm going to tell you them. So they're only having two stands open. I can't go to a competitive fixture where there's only two stands open. It just feels too bad.
Is that football snobbery?
No, it is. I watched play Bristol City in League One. Sorry, I'm not going to watch play Hungerford in the Cup. I work with a Plymouth Argyle fan who was kind enough to remind me that we started our FA Cup campaign last week. They start theirs in January. So I'm not desperate to go. I'm not paying to get in. I haven't paid for my season ticket yet, so I'm not paying for adding more games onto the bill. And it's the Ryder Cup. I'm not missing the Ryder Cup.
Well, now we've got Drew's priorities laid out as well. This has been a hell of a podcast between that and Robert's diary.
Why we don't go to Torquay United games?
Yeah.
The team we support. Can't be asked to go to our biggest games or our smallest games.
Maybe this is a discussion for a different podcast, not one that's solely focused on Torquay United. The only other business I want to give is a shout out to our very own Drewiff here for his interview episode with Bobby Olesnik. So if you get a chance to head back and listen to that, then do feel free. A good chat with one of the safest pair of hands we've had here in the last, I don't know, 20 years probably. I genuinely thought he was the player that would go to the Premier League, and it just didn't quite happen.
Yeah, I thank you. Bobby was great. Really, really nice guy. It's so worth listening if you haven't. Ben did a lot of the heavy lifting for me because he remembers everything from that season. But yeah, I agree. Won't get too into it, but I was convinced he was a Premier League keeper. I honestly thought he would be that kind of, you know, in years to come, one of the quiz questions, who was in goal when Wigan did their like record great escape? Oh yeah, it's Bobby Olesnik.
I genuinely, because I still remember it at the time, because I was telling my mates, like, this guy's going to go big. Because it was at the time where, for some reason, Gazzaniga was getting minutes for Southampton or someone. And I was just like,
that's right.
I was like, the guy I'm watching at Torquay is better than him, you know? and yeah, for whatever reason, it obviously just didn't quite managed to go as high as it looked like he could after leaving us. But have a listen to the episode if you haven't already. Good kind of in-depth chat with Bobby, who's probably one of our better goalkeepers in recent years. So thank you very much to Matt Roberts for joining us. Matt?
Thank you.
And Mr. Sam Drew, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
We will catch up next week on Talking Torquay. Cheers.